What is up, Hooped Nation? And this is Eddie Aparicio, and I'm joined here by my co-host, Anthony Tuan Corral. And we are the Cisco Kids. We are buzzer beaters. And we are brought to you by GremlinsMedia.com. You can find us at GremlinsMedia.com, as well as any popular podcast outlet you can think of, such as Spotify, Google, Apple, X, Pandora. You name it, you just go ahead and find us that way. Type in buzzer beaters, type in Anthony Tuan Corral. You'll go ahead and find us. All right? Anyway, so... we're here, actually, it's been 2 weeks since we did our last podcast because Tuan here had to go on vacation, right? And hey, we all got to go on vacation. It's summertime. I'm actually going on vacation next week, bro. So we can talk about that, too. But, dude, what's going on? What's been happening with you, man? Where'd you go?
Just went to Cabo San Lucas down in Mexico for about a little over a week.
Right.
And went with the family. And I had been to Mexico, Eddie, since... 1989, I went to
Mazatlan. Oh, dude, that's a long time, bro.
Yeah, I went to Mazatlan, and I hadn't been there since. And wow. I'll tell you, the first couple of days, I was just kind of acclimating myself.
Yep.
You know, figuring out what's what, getting my bearings. You know, there's a lot of, excuse me, there's a lot of all
that freaking cough, dude.
Yeah, it's a pina colada cough now. But, there's a lot of all-inclusive resorts, but we decided not to get one so we could kind of, I rented a car and went to different restaurants and got a little different vibe. There's, you know, for those that don't know, I guess there's two Cabos down there. There's Cabo San Lucas and San Jose del Cabo, which are kind of right next to each other. To be honest, I kind of like San Jose a little bit better. It was about a 20 to 25 minute drive between the two cities. I like San Jose a little bit better. It was a little more chill, a little more kind of artsy. I liked it a little bit better, but Cabo was great. Dude, I will tell you, Eddie, the service down there is incredible.
Oh yeah?
Oh dude, Eddie, everyone is just, they take care of you. You know, they're good, like good people. They seem to genuinely care. Obviously I can't imagine they care about everyone. I mean, I don't know if that's humanly possible, but the vibe you get, you know, they make you feel like they're your friends and whatever you need and they'll take care of it. It was really, really good. I mean, you know, it's, you know, as you and I get older and we live in the States, it gets harder and harder to find decent customer service anywhere, you know, around here. And down there, dude, they got it all. They got
it's kind of like their business model, man. I mean, it's all about tourism down there, man. So they got to have service-oriented people, right?
Yes.
And establish them instead of very service-oriented because that's what draws the money for that for them, right? So
exactly.
They have to be good at it, man. So,
exactly. But all these businesses, you know, have to generate people. But they don't always follow that model. But down there, they got it down. I mean, the hotel we stayed at, the people were fantastic. But every restaurant we went to, everybody was accommodating. Everybody was, you know, whatever you needed, it was great. So just had a real fantastic time. Yep. You know what's funny, Eddie, is the first time, and, you know, usually when I go on vacation, I got a home, you know. And this time, I want to come back, dude. I just wanted to stay another week. You know, just kick it by the pool, have some food, it was just a really good time. So just
right on, man.
Relax. Hey. I feel relaxed right now. Tomorrow I'm back in the grind. We'll see how long the relaxation lasts, probably a whole 5 minutes, and then I'll be in it, you know, in the rat race again. But really, really like it. Yeah.
Right on, bro. Time. Right on, man. So glad to have you back, man. It's been, like I said, a couple weeks since we had our last podcast. This is episode 59. Actually, this is probably going to be our last podcast for the summer until, you know, we come back probably. I will say October 1st is probably when we're going to come back because that's the preseason starts the following day on October 2nd. So we're going to go ahead and probably do some shorts here and there until then. What we're going to talk about this week is actually we're going to go ahead and just end the coverage of Summer League because when we had our last podcast, Summer League was in its last weekend. So we didn't cover the games from Wednesday through Saturday, through Sunday. And, you know, we all know that the Charlotte Hornets are the ones who ended up being the champions of the Summer League. And then your boy, dude, Kyle Filipowski was the MVP, man. Your boy from last year. Too bad he's on your team this year, man.
But you're too late, bro.
You're too late. So,
you're too early.
So we're going to go ahead and just briefly go over some of the standout players from each of those final games and just kind of a summary of all the games. And then we're going to dovetail into the next segment, which is going to be our last segment. It's only going to be two segments this week, but we're probably going to get to about an hour. Our intent is to go an hour now from here on out, an hour, right? We want to go ahead and get it tighter. We've been going to the hour and a half, but we want to go ahead and keep your attention. So an hour is the maximum we're going to try and go from here on out. So we're not going to try and belabor the point too much. We're going to go ahead and try and get to the point, right? So the next segment that we're going to talk about is this player greatness index that we had come up with. Episode 47 is when we first introduced it. So, you know, episode 48, 49, and then 51 is when we completed it all. But we haven't talked about it over like 2 months, right? But what we're doing this time is that on July 14th, Bleacher Report went ahead and rolled out their top 100 of all time. And it's interesting because earlier in the year, we had ESPN's top 75 anniversary team, in the top 75 players of all time. And we did a comparison against that in the episodes 47, 48, 49, and 51. So this time what we're doing is we're going to go ahead and cover the Bleacher Report top 100 and then compare that against our PGI or Player Greatness Index. And then we're also going to dovetail into how we're going to compare the top 75 from ESPN and Bleacher Report as well as our PGI and just kind of show some of the differences, right? I'm going to point out some players that were on Bleacher Report's top 100, or the top 75, I should say, because we're trying to do an apples-apples comparison, that were not on ESPN's top 75, which is interesting. Okay. There's 13 players. Actually, there's 10 players. There were 10 players that were different, right? So we're going to go ahead and just total have a geek fest about all the different numbers and all. You know, we broke down, like, how we want to arrive at this PGI concept. It's all numbers-based. You're going to see a ticker at the bottom here that's going to show the top 50 of our PGI index, how we not necessarily show the numbers, but how they rank. And then later on, we're going to have a spreadsheet that kind of shows a breakdown of all of them. So hopefully, Tuan, you know, I know you had some issues with the previous versions of the spreadsheet. Hopefully, we got that all squared away. We can go ahead and show it, right? All right, bro. So, and by the way, speaking of vacations, I'm going on vacation next week.
Yes,
I'm going to Mexico too, man. So I'm actually going to be going to Guadalajara. A small town outside of Guadalajara, about 45-minute drive that Patty's, my wife's parents, are both from that small city, small town. So we're going to go there, first time ever for both myself and Amanda, and we're just going to go ahead and just get immersed. And, dude, I have to get my Spanish back, bro, man, because, you know, it's back here. It's not here. It used to be here. It's my first language, but it's back here.
Yeah.
And then with practice, it comes back, but I haven't practiced that much lately, so I have to get back into it, bro. So anyway, so let's get into it, bro. So I think you have the slide set that I sent.
Hey, before we begin, Eddie, two things.
Yeah.
First thing, did you see Jokic when his horse won that?
Yeah, he got all like you all excited, emotional.
Dude, Eddie, I'm telling
you're
you.
Saying, dude, you're saying he's going to retire, bro.
Dude, I am telling you, Eddie. I'm telling you that dude, he was crying, bro. He wasn't even crying when they won the NBA championship.
He wasn't crying.
And he was crying. He's dumping. He's dancing by himself, you know, popping bubbly over his head. You know, I'm like, dude, this dude is in love with the horses, bro. So, so I just wanted to
that was a small little thing. You were calling that.
I'm telling you.
Yeah. Because he hasn't re-upped, right? He probably didn't want to be a distraction. But your theory is that he's probably going, you know, basketball's not as important to me. I'm moving on. I'm going to retire while I'm on top, and that's that, right? So it's a great take. We shall see if you're right. We shall see, but you're right. And then the other one before we get into it is, you know, Luka Doncic, bro.
Yes, did you see that was my second one.
Body, dude? I mean, that's amazing how much weight that guy has shed off, dude.
Yes.
I mean, that's tough to do over, like, you know, that was only what? It's been since they got out of the playoffs probably like in – May-ish, late May or early June, and then now to turn around here, you know, a month and a half later, and dude, this guy looks like a freaking totally different guy, man. Like he lost a lot of weight. He pretty much just said, "F you, Nico Harrison." You know, screw you or the Mavericks organization, because we know Nico Harrison was just being a good, you know, good soldier, as you pointed out in your short, that he was just being told what to do, and you know, but Luka essentially said, "Screw you guys," right?
I'm gonna show up. $1 million question now, Eddie is. Will Luka play better in this quote unquote?
We don't know, bro. I mean, because we talked about him being kind of a heavier set guy. You know, in the past, because of his weight, he wasn't necessarily a fast break type of guy. He was kind of a bring it up slowly, establish a half court offense. Now, you know, he might be kind of this run and gun type point guard now, man. But we're going to see how that affects him when he kind of uses his body in the past, where he's able to kind of, you know, use his weight and size to get over someone who's smaller than him to be able to dominate him and score over him, right?
Yep.
I think he's still going to have that because he's strong. He's got more muscle than before. And muscle is way heavier than fat, right?
Of course.
But he's less weight, right? And weight is a factor in basketball, right?
Yeah.
You know, I think right now, because, you know, you knew me back in the day when I was playing, I was heavier than I am now, bro. I'm stronger than I am now, probably, because I think I'm more, there's more solid to me. But I don't think I'd be able to move people as much as I did because of the weight that I had in the past, right? I'm like 35, 40 pounds less than I was.
Yeah.
So there's a factor to that. You might be right.
It's incredible how much that weight lasts. So a couple things that I'm curious about. So, yes, number one is, what's he going to play like?
Yep.
Number two, will he keep this new physique, right? He's motivated right now.
LeBron is the one who kind of, I think, really influenced them to be this way.
I agree, but there's a lot of rumors about LeBron getting traded or whether or not LeBron wants to retire. I heard one that he wants a farewell tour, you know, when he retires, a la Kareem, you know, kind of every...
Or a la Kobe Bryant.
Yes, Correct. So we'll see how that works. So I'm curious on those two things. Will his game change at all? Better or worse? And number two, during the season when I think it's a little harder to stay in shape, whether he'll go back to his bad habits of eating or whatever it is that got him to the weight that he was to begin with. So we'll see.
It's going to be must see TV, man. I don't know if you saw the clip of him, at some kind of pickup game, but he threw this hat, from the seat. He threw a shot up and made it. You know, nothing big, but he looked a lot slimmer, bro, right?
Yeah. He's on the cover of one of the magazines now.
It's amazing, like, in a month and a half, how much you can go ahead and change your physique, man. And by the way, you know, I have a cousin of mine who used to be a bodybuilder, and she doesn't do it anymore because she's a mom now. But she would do it in a 6-week period where she would completely change her body from where it was to where she needed to do it in competing wise. And it's amazing how much your body, you can do it in 6 weeks, bro. And he did it in roughly around the same time frame, bro. All right. You can do it. It's all about diet. Diet is how you get kind of cut, really, right? Water and diet is how you get cut. But, you know, the strength and all that stuff, it comes with weightlifting, right? You have to do a certain type of weight lifting. It's not like power lifting, a lot of weight. You have to shape it, right? There's a lot of like high rep, high intensity, you know, low weight kind of thing that you have to do. And that's probably what Luka did in order to get his physique the way it is now, right? Of course, a lot of conditioning comes with that too, right? So, but anyway, bro, good talk. Hey, before we get into the next segment, dude, something closer to home. What about Jonathan Kuminga, bro? I mean, did you hear about him rejecting the 2-year offer that he got at $45 million? I mean, it's pretty evident he doesn't want to stay with the Warriors, bro. I mean, He's, I think, mentally checked out. I think he wants to go somewhere else. He's hoping that somebody's going to go ahead and pick him up. I don't know if he's overplaying his hand, bro, because that's a pretty good offer, you know, from 7.9, you know, 1 year to now a 2-year. But I think the thing is that there's like a trade clause or something like that that they wanted, that the Warriors wanted in there so that they can go ahead and trade him at some point. He didn't want that. So I think that's part of the reason why you're seeing some of this back and forth with them right now. Yeah. So I wanted to kind of get your take on that.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's clearly, I mean – as this goes longer, he seems to be more digging his heels in a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, I know that there's been rumors that he's talked to Sacramento. He's talked to Phoenix. I heard that Sacramento and a sign and trade were willing to give him some $90 million contract if they could figure that out. But the Warriors, I don't think there's a player there that the Warriors want. So we'll see. I mean, obviously he has the option to sign for the 7.9
I guess.
Yeah, and then pay the 1 year, and then next year he'll be a restricted free agent. That's worst case for the Warriors because then they get nothing for him.
Right.
And so we'll see how this turns out. But if he turns down the $45 million deal, I mean, he'll have to play for the 7 because there's no one offering him a contract. You know,
correct.
What I find fascinating is that everyone's talking, but no one's offering him anything. You know?
There's a lot of like bluffing, I think, going on, bro. You know, lot of bluffing. You call your hand first, right? Whoever calls the hand usually loses, or calls. You know, anyways, just whoever reveals their tell, right? Whoever tells first is usually the one who speaks first. Like in negotiations, is usually the one who loses, right?
Yep.
So that's probably what's going on. A lot of these tactics are kind of coming into play here, man. So
yeah, it's really going to be interesting because I think as long as Kuminga stays with the Warriors, he's going to be in the same. He's going to be used in the same capacity as he's been used for the last 3 or 4 years. I don't think anything's going to change. And the million-dollar question is, if you're Sacramento, you're offering $90 million for 3 or 4 years or whatever, is he really going to be that player? And I honestly don't have a feeling of how good he would be.
I don't know, man. I mean, it's pretty evident that he has an issue with how he has been developed, you know, and I would say he has a fair argument, in my opinion, even though he doesn't do all the small things. It's just bottom line, dude, he isn't going to be who he thinks he can be with Steph Curry on the team because the whole offense revolves around Steph Curry and his shooting prowess, right? You know, but somebody like him who has the skill set like he does can definitely take advantage of the voids that are left in the floor when Steph Curry is on the floor, right? There's a lot of openings that are there, and someone with his athleticism and his scoring capabilities, his slashing capabilities, could easily take advantage of that. I mean, look at what happened with Jordan Poole, different player, right? But he's a shooter type player, but he could dribble and score, right? And that's essentially what Jonathan Kuminga could do. He could go ahead and come off the dribble and use his athleticism to go to the paint and score, right? You would think that having somebody like Curry would help develop his game further. And that's probably maybe the frustration that Kerr has in him, is that he's not necessarily working within the system. He's still trying to be the ball dominant and be, you know, who he was in the past before coming on a team that has a Steph Curry, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
The one who's catching a lot of shrapnel here is Steve Kerr, right? There's a lot of people that are second-guessing how he's used them,
yep.
Second-guessing, you know, holding on to the old heads and not really giving the young bucks a chance.
Yep.
We'll see. I mean, a lot of this is going to play out. But, you know, the one thing that I am pretty comfortable in saying, I think at the end of, I think it's next year when everybody's contract's up, I don't think Steve Kerr returns.
I agree with you. I agree with you.
I can't tell you about everybody else, but
I don't think
Steve Kerr returns.
I agree with you. I agree. But, yeah. You know, I think that Curry is following the path of Kerr. It's possible that Curry might call it quits. Although Curry is still playing at a high level, right? I mean, this injury, you know, which he had never had before with the hamstring muscle injury, was the first time he's ever had it. I don't know how his recovery has been from it. I'm sure he was okay. But, you know, with age comes more injury, right? And that guy is probably the most well-conditioned athlete in the NBA. That guy runs, I don't know how many miles per game, bro, right? And at 37, turning 38, you know, are you going to be able to do it at that same high level? And when guys like him, you know, when they perform at a high level for all their career and then they start seeing their skill set kind of dwindle, it's hard on their ego, bro. You know, but he still has a shooting prowess, and his shooting prowess is going to keep him in the NBA a long time. You know, as long as he continues to be, you know, comfortable with not initially being the number one guy on a team anymore, right? Which is more than likely what's going to happen. He can't be the number one guy anymore to win championships. They were hoping that Jonathan Kuminga could be that guy, but that hasn't happened, right? So
in my opinion, I don't think Jonathan Kuminga will ever be that guy, or not, at least not on a winning team. You know,
I agree, bro.
I think at best, the third best player on a winning team.
I think so. I think you're right. Yeah. I think you're right, bro.
Yeah.
And he easily could be the third best player on this team. Right.
He could easily
be it because we know Jimmy Butler is their second best player. Curry's their best player. And then Draymond Green right now is the third best player, but Kuminga could be their third best player from a scoring standpoint, because that the team needs scoring, honestly, because you know, that's their whole, you know, usually when Curry's off the floor, they have a tough time scoring, bro.
Right.
And someone like him can essentially fill that void. So, all right, bro, let's get into it. We got 40 minutes to get into all the stuff
Are we doing the spreadsheet first or the slide?
Let's go to the slide because it's quick. We just want to be complete here, man. So we're just going to go ahead and do a quick review of the Summer League top performers. I just went ahead and did one slide here, and we don't necessarily have to, you know, go into detail about this. But, you know, we covered all of the games up until Wednesday, July 16th. So all the games that you see there from Thursday, July 10th, all the way to Tuesday, July 15th, we had covered in previous podcasts, right? But we didn't cover July 16th to July 20th, and July 20th is when the championship game happened between, you know, the Hornets and I forgot who else they played. But anyway, so what I wanted to show here is that, just to be, you know, complete here, is that we had identified the best rookie MVP from each of those days of Summer League. And then from July 16th, you can see that Tyrese Proctor of the Cleveland Cavaliers had the best performing night out of all the rookies, but he also turned out to be the best performing overall player that night, right? So that's the first time we saw that in that night. July 17th, we had Colin Murray Boyles of my team, right? He was the Toronto Raptors. He was the rookie MVP on July 17th. And then, dude, De'Ron Holmes. Remember him last year,
man? De'Ron Holmes, yes.
Yeah. He actually tore his Achilles, you know, and now he's back. And he was the best overall MVP player from that. I don't know. Did you see any of these games, bro? I just see some of them, but I just kind of just.
No, I honestly, I was prepping for my trip and doing.
Yeah, dude. And I saw here and there. I didn't see too many of these games either, right? But, you know, you can see that Jeremiah Fears, you know, was the MVP at 43.8 on July 18th with Freeman Liberty, who was, I think, is a third-year player. He was the MVP for that night. And then I'm going to go ahead and take this thing off. But you can see my boy Con Knupel, he was, and surprisingly, at 29-point-whatever it is. I can't see that number, 29.8, I think it is. He was the MVP. 29.1. And then, you know, Dylan Jones, who actually was on the Oklahoma City Thunder and then got traded, he was on, he was the best player for that Saturday night. And then the very last game, we had Ryan Kalkbrenner of the winning team of Summer League, Charlotte Hornets, being at 30.8. Yes. One thing I want to point out here, bro, is that if you look at all the top performers, most of these guys were all second round players, right? Liam McNeely, Brooks Barnheiser, Danny Wolfe was first round, Conklin was first round, but Jeremiah was first round, Tyrese Proctor was second round, right? So it was interesting that, I don't say most, but it was a pretty good balance, right? That, you know, most of the, VJ Edgecombe was the number 3 pick, Conklin was the number 4 pick, you know, Colin Morin-Bowles, I think it was like number 7 or 8, I forgot what number, just from the top of my head, but Brooks Barnheiser, Liam McNeely, those guys showed up, man. Ryan Kalkbrenner showed up. I mean, and Tyrese Proctor. I mean, all those guys are second-round picks and actually did pretty well. And that's kind of like, you know, for Summer League, a lot of the times, like we saw with Cooper Flagg and Dylan Harper, you know, these guys are top picks. They don't want to kind of, you know, risk any injuries. So they kind of limit their action, right? And they did that with your guy, your Cooper Flagg. But these second-round guys, like, the reason why I essentially won our little Summer League contest is because, you know, Johnny Broome played every freaking game, right?
Yep. That's basically what you want. So we gotta figure that strategy for next season. Like,
yeah, but bro, it's totally luck because I had no idea, right? I had no idea that I was gonna pick a bunch of guys that are gonna play a bunch of games, and that's how I got lucky, man. So, so anything you want to point out on anything that you see here that stands out before we move on to the next slide?
No, I mean, I'm just looking at Reed Sheppard. You know, he had a really high score on July 11th. That's gonna be interesting with now Kevin Durant over on Houston. How much of a role he might play. You know, they got him. You had him as a backup shooting guard on that team. But, you know, I think he's more naturally a point guard, I would think. You know, the way he handles the ball and the way that he distributes, a little bit of a shooting point guard. So that stands out to me. You know, and as you mentioned, a lot of the overall MVPs are second-year players or in some case third-year players, which is probably expected. They're a little more comfortable in the league and they're doing a little more. But yeah, like I think it's overall, you know, I think the league, these numbers are looking good. The incoming class is looking good. VJ Edgecombe, I think, is going to be a baller. He's going to be a player. I think, you know, he's going to press Philadelphia, make them look good. You know, I think he's going to fit well. And so we'll see how that looks. But yeah, no, those really are the only thoughts that I am looking at this sheet.
And you know what's interesting is that the guy who got crowned as the MVP of Summer League is your boy Kyle Filipowski. He's only showed up once on all of the games here as the top performer, right? You would think that somebody who's showing up multiple times maybe has the most points, because I actually took I took points to that, and actually Johnny Broome was the highest point getter out of all of Summer League, right? You could argue that he actually might have been the MVP, but they can't necessarily do that because he's a second round pick. But you know, that's why I kind of kept track of all that, because I kind of want to see, you know, do they really look at it from an analytics standpoint, or they look at it from just a complete, like, just subjective perspective? And it's more than likely subjective, man.
Yeah, so. And you know, Eddie, one of the things that I find fascinating is, you know, like, let's take VJ Edgecombe for a second. You know, he had a real good summer league, real good, you know, offensive player.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is that none of these players are going to be the guy on their team. Not even the second guy or the third.
Oh, right, to be like the number one. Yeah.
So the thing that's really fascinating to me is that you don't really see some of the other players that are more glue guys that pass the ball more, do some of the dirty work. some of those guys I think are going to catapult some of these guys when it comes time to actually play, you know, to play real games in the NBA, because some of these guys aren't going to have the opportunities they have like they did in this summer league, you know? So
yeah, I agree with that.
So I'm really going to like hold on to this sheet, and I'm going to see out of this sheet who actually even gets playing time on their team.
I think, you know, the guy that I think is going to actually probably be a contender for a rookie MVP. And by the way, we're going to go ahead, a rookie of the year, I should say. And we're going to go ahead and cover like our end of the season awards probably in our next podcast before the preseason starts. We'll go ahead and make our predictions. But my prediction right now is the guy that I think is going to make get a lot of playing time is Con Knupel, man. I think that guy has got an opportunity to, you know, compete against the likes of a Cooper Flagg, who's going to be on a high profile team right now, and he's going to start, right? He's going to play. Dylan Harper is going to play. He's more than likely going to start too. So those guys who start that are rookies are the ones who are going to get, you know, the opportunity to be the rookie of the year. And I think Con Knupel, I think, has a really good opportunity to be, you know, the rookie of the year. So
especially when you're playing for the Hornets, you know, you're going to get
a lot of playing time, man.
Yeah. Kind of like what they did with, you know, the Wizards last year. A lot of those players got a lot of playing time. So
yeah, exactly. All right, bro. Let's go to the next slide. So, this is just showing you what I was trying to show you is that look at how many other games I had. So if you look at Summer League game 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you know, I accumulated 110.7 points in the third game of Summer League. You only had 39.5, and then I accumulated points after that from mainly Johnny Broom, right? So, you know, and he was the highest point getter from a statistical standpoint in all of Summer League, right? Yet, you know, Kyle Filipowski was the guy who got the MVP, and it'd be interesting if I could kind of do Kyle Filipowski's numbers to compare against Johnny Broom, if his numbers were better than Johnny Broom or not, because Kyle Filipowski played a lot of, you know, almost every game too. So, but this, you can see that right now I have a pretty big lead on our little rookie fantasy league that we have for the entire year. And then we'll go ahead and restart it again on October 2nd is when the Summer League, the preseason starts. So we'll go ahead but I have a 267.47 lead on you right now, man. So, but again,
well, one thing to know too, that Trey Johnson player, I watched the game with him.
Very good offensive player, man.
Yeah. He's pretty good offensively.
Yeah. For sure, man. And you know, your guy, you know, Cooper Flagg, you know, I think he's going to show out, bro. I think he's going to be a beast this year, man. I have a feeling that guy is just going to beast out, man, on this team, because he doesn't have to be the scoring load. He's going to do everything that he does well. He's like a, you know, in baseball, kind of a five-tool guy. He does everything well, man, right? Yep. So I think he's going to show out. So
I'm thinking the difference whether I beat you or not is going to be Ace Bailey and what kind of impact he has over in Utah.
We shall see, man. Yeah. Anyway, bro, that's it. Let's go on to the next one. Now we're going to go into the segment about the Bleacher Report Top 100. Now, they came out with a list on July 14th that showed all of their top 100 players that they have in NBA history. ESPN just did this, you know, a few months prior to that, or actually it was a couple years ago, a couple years ago, where they introduced their top 75 NBA 75-year anniversary team, and we went ahead and covered the ESPN players against our PGI index. Now, I'm going to go ahead and also put a ticker here. What I'm showing right here on the bottom is our top 50 PGI. Now, this is our system, all right? This is how we rank them based on a numbers-based system that we introduced on episode 47, how we arrive at the numbers. And you're going to see some of these numbers here. As you can see on the left, you can see that the ones that are non-colored, the font, that's our PGI rankings, you know, from 91 to 100. This is how our PGI rankings
right
show.
Here, yep.
Now, yeah, exactly. Now you can see that there's numbers next to it, 2,456.4. That's going to show you that relatively against the others, how they kind of stack up right now. Bleacher Report, it's more subjective. They might have some kind of analytics-based process, but they don't show it, right? They're just showing you kind of like there's some of their stats, some of their history from all of these players. What I want to show here so everybody knows, because, Twan, maybe you could maybe move our videos.
Let's see if I can.
Maybe move it somewhere else if there's a way to do it. Ah, there we go. There we go. So you can see the legend here is that, you know, we've shown this before. If you see the light green on the Bleacher Report rankings. That's telling you, like, Dave Bing right now, he's 95th on our PGI rankings list. You can see Dave Bing in that blue, it's highlighted in blue. And that what that's telling you is that there is somebody on this page that matches on our PGI, okay? So that's why I highlight in blue. On Bleacher Report's rankings, there's someone that matches on our PGI, and that's what I highlight in blue. And Dave Bing is that guy. But you can see he's the 95th ranked guy on our index, and then but he's the 99th guy on Bleacher Report's. That's only 4 points away or four slots away. Therefore, you know, he's a light green because light green is within five slots of our PGI.
Okay, and for the audience, one thing I want to note, a subtlety, is when Eddie did the top 75, we didn't really range outside of any players outside of that 75. So our original PGI 75 only included the players that ESPN added.
Correct.
Now, if you go back and watch those episodes, you may see players now that are lower or higher than what we originally had them, because now we're introducing a new segment of players that weren't in that list. So just I want everyone to know that this list now, even the PGI index list, could potentially look different than what you saw in episode 47.
Correct. That is correct. Yeah. And thanks for bringing that up, Tuan, because this is an evolving thing. When we first started doing this PGI, we were essentially doing, like, let's test it out with a few players. I think the first test that I did was, you know, Karl Malone versus Charles Barkley, right? Just to kind of see how that goes. Or, like, Carmelo Anthony versus Bernard King, two very highly heralded New York Knicks players in their lore, right? So I kind of want to see who actually was considered the higher, just to test it out. And then when we kind of did, like, kind of the sanity check on these numbers, we're like, okay, let's go ahead and do it to keep going, right? So then we went ahead and did the ESPN Top 75. We went ahead and did that. And then we started, you know, because it takes roughly about 5 minutes per player for me to do every player to come up with this number, right? So it takes time. So when we finished the Top 75 of ESPN, then what happened is I wanted to go back and look at all of the Hall of Fame players, right? So what I did is after the ESPN Top 75, I went through all of the Hall of Fame players, and then I put that in our PGI system. Yep. And then that's what I came up as, you know, a complete list from there. Then, you know, with this list that came out from Bleacher Report, that also introduced some other players. So I had to kind of type that in. And then lo and behold, the numbers that you see here are, you know, roughly about 150 players that I actually did for PGI on our side. And as Tuan had already kind of noted, some of these numbers that you see here for the Bleacher Report numbers against our PGI, the PGI numbers are going to be different in this episode versus the one in the past because we have a bigger pool of players now, and therefore the numbers are going to change, right? So anyway, thanks for pointing that out, bro.
Yep.
One other thing I also wanted to point out is that if you see a player that is bolded in the bolded font, that's telling you that they're a current player. Okay, so you can see on this page, Jason Tatum is number 93. He's actually on our PGI number 34. Okay, but he's 93 on Bleacher Report's rankings.
Eddie, that's crazy.
That's an insane difference, right? Then you got Klay Thompson, who's 72 on our list, so he's going to be showing up in the next couple slides here.
Yep.
He's at 72, but he's bolded too because he's a current player. So I just wanted to go ahead and note that. But you can see on the legend on the bottom, we've already pointed out, if you see a light green, Dave Bing being that guy, we're only five slot. That's only a five slot difference, you know, up to a five slot difference. But if you go to like a dark green, that means it's matching exactly to our PGI. We're not going to see that until we get up later in the rankings, right? But then if you're within 10 slots, which we have here with Bill Sharman, Bill Sharman is 101 on our list. He's not on this PGI index rank because he's at one. We only show up to 100, but he's the next guy after this. He's 101, and then Bleacher Report had him at 94. All right, so and then the rest you can see if they're red, that's telling you that they're more than 10 slots away. With Jason Tatum being kind of the poster child example here on this one, right? But look at the bigger. Look at Chauncey Billups, dude. Look at that one.
He's You know, Chauncey Billups is not even. And you know, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, this is such a drastic difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is like it's just so pure. Like, you know, I think everyone that is participating in this, you know, from a Bleacher Report perspective, I think they have a certain association to these players or that team, or you know, and they're like, no, Chauncey Billups can't be that low. You know, he won with the Pistons, and you know, and like all of this, and like we're just doing the numbers, and it's just crazy to me the reality of the numbers versus how people see.
Well, you can see a lot of these guys romanticize a lot of these players, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of romanticization going on here, man. Romanticization. What do you want to call that term, right? Just a lot of, like, amplifying of their, you know, like one in particular, bro, and our PGI proves it. One guy that's hugely amplified, bro, is Bill Walton. Hugely amplified, okay? Now, I'm not taking away from him. He was a good player. He just got marred by injuries all of his career, right? And when he played, he was good, but he had a very limited career, bro. And and Bleacher Report actually has him a lot higher, man. So but let's go on to the next slide. Is there anybody else you want to point out here before we go to the next slide?
Oh. Sorry, bro. That's me.
Yeah.
I'm trying to hit the next slide. No, just Chauncey Billups stood out. Artis Gilmore, obviously we have him as 32nd. That's crazy to me. But let's just keep working down the list.
Yep.
So here's the next 10.
Okay, so then you can see nothing but red here, bro, all right? And you can see that no one here has been highlighted in blue, okay? There's nobody here that matches our PGI here. But you can see, by the way, I want to point out, we're not there yet. When we get to 75, I'll point it out. Jimmy Butler is a current player that's on here. Bleacher Report had him. Of course, ESPN doesn't have him in their top 75, nor should he be, because he's 83 on this list, right? And but when we get to 75 and above, I want to kind of point out some players that are different, right? But you can see, you know, Draymond Green, okay? He's at 120. That's our PGI, but he's 88 on Bleacher Reports.
Yes.
Chris, what's interesting is that Draymond Green, and I'll probably argue this, that Draymond Green, you know, because probably he's closer to home to us, is that I think he's probably he's better than Chris Webber, you know, overall, right? Because of just the overall impact he has on the game. But a lot of people say Chris Webber would be a better player than Draymond Green. A lot of people would say that, right?
But again, you know, my question to those people, that to anybody, because everyone here knows we're Warriors fans.
Yep.
And, you know, if I were to magically pull Draymond Green out of the air, just as a Warriors fan, I'd probably have him higher than 88th or even higher than 120th. You know, but that's what the numbers dictate. So to me, yeah, Weber was a more flashy player. You know, he was a better known player. He was a higher ranked player. But what are you basing on the fact that he's better than Draymond?
Right.
You know, like, what is it about him that, you know, that he was a little bit of a more athletic, that he had flashier moves? That don't count for nothing.
It doesn't, man. And if you look at, you know, the difference right now, the one that has the biggest difference here is Alonzo Mourning. Dikembe Mutombo is actually slightly higher. Okay.
Yeah.
He has the biggest difference from where he's ranked by Bleacher Report versus where he's ranked on our list, right? Again, the ticker on the bottom that you're seeing here is our top 50. We would go ahead and try and show you the full list, but we're limited by our platform. It only allows 1,000 characters for us to go ahead and show that. But what's interesting, bro, is that if you look here, Dwight Howard, bro, look at number 50 on PGI. He is 50th, okay? He wasn't even on ESPN's top 75, but his numbers show that he should be a top 50 player of all time.
Correct.
Actually, he's actually appearing on – when I first saw this list, the complete list, you know, we can go to the next slide. I think Dwight Howard's showing up here shortly. Not yet. Okay. So you can see here that Chris Bosh is the only one that shows up on our PGI index that is also in the same page as the Bleacher Reports, right? So you can see, you know, looking at the PGI index rankings, Klay Thompson is slightly better than Chris Bosh. Alex English is slightly better than Klay Thompson. Steve Nash, very interesting.
Yes.
Steve Nash,
yes.
75th. Okay,
yes.
And he's one of these guys that's romanticized. Okay,
I agree.
Okay, look at
you know, let's talk about, like, forgive me, I'm a big basketball. Who's Zelmo Beatty? I don't even know who that is, bro.
He is one of the early basketball heads that I think he's one of the first black players in the NBA. To play, and they wanted to, there's a few of them that were like I'm just kind of trying to remember.
This is exactly why me personally, I love our list. because we're bringing names like is Zelmo even anywhere on BR's rankings?
Not even close.
That's
he's
my
not
point.
He's not on Bleacher Reports. No one nor on ESPN's.
Exactly. So if you're a, forgive me, Washington Bullets fan, because that's who Wes Unseld played for. If you're a Wes Unseld fan and you're going, how the hell is this Zelmo guy better than Wes Unseld?
Right.
there you go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But you can see that but we have two guys that are within five slots of PGI. We have Alex English. Right. Okay.
Yes.
He's at 71 on our list, but yet he's 76 on Bleacher Reports. And then we have Chris Bosch, who's pretty close to, you know, matching – you know, Bleacher Report's ranking, okay? We have him at 73.
Correct.
He's at 71. But, again, there's still a lot of reds here, and there's only one yellow here with Hal Greer being somewhat close, right?
Correct.
So,
and then Grant Hill.
Look at that difference, bro. Look at that
difference. Very romanticized player. Very
absolutely.
Romanticized.
81 slot difference.
Yes, that's massive.
That's massive. Okay, yeah. That's showing you that he's highly romanticized, like you pointed out.
Yeah.
Okay?
Man, look, Ginobili, you know, big gap.
Big gap, dude, 142 to 75, man. That's huge, right? Now, but, you know, here's another one. Look at Dave Cowens. Dave Cowens is 74th, but yet he's 30th on our
for
list.
Us. Yeah.
That's a huge delta, too, in the wrong direction, you know, in the better direction for him, right?
Yep, but, that is.
I mean, what it's showing is that someone like him should get a lot more praise for who he was as a player, right? And
correct.
Some of these other guys, you know, are probably shouldn't be on these lists because, you know, again, they're all romanticized. You know, they are. And definitely, you point out.
Man, I'm not blaming anybody for romantic. I romanticize my Warriors, you know. I think Curry should be, you know, top five.
Yep.
I think, you know, Klay Thompson should be top 20. I get it. But the reality is, like, what does the number say?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And again, for anybody that doesn't know, look at our previous shows on how we did the point system. You know, we took everything into account, you know, championships, MVPs, All-Pro.
All-Stars.
We took all of that into account.
Yep.
And if anybody has an issue with something that we weighed, you know, a certain, and you want to change the points, let us know. You know, we're more than open to having that discussion. We waited, you know, Eddie put a lot of thought into how we want to do it. You know, we also took into consideration how many teams are in the league. You know, we had a minimum of 10 years that the player had to play, but yet if a player played 20 and another player paid 15, that was prorated. That we figured that out.
You had to normalize it.
Yep. Correct. We did it per season because obviously if a player plays 20 seasons and another player plays 11, the stats can't be the same. The other player played 9 more years.
Yep.
You know, it's not weighted the same. So we did a lot of that. So just for those of you that aren't familiar with this, just go back to the older shows. You'll see that how we did it. And if there's any questions, you know, feel free to reach out.
But you can see right now, like, the numbers are starting to creep up. We were, like, you know, we were in the, like, low 2000s. Now we're getting up to 26. We're getting up to 3,000 range now, right? So go to the next slide.
Yep.
This is now PGI numbers 61 through 70. You can see we're getting closer to 3,000, but not quite there yet, right? But, again, the guys that are highlighted in blue are the guys that, you know, are guys that are current and are playing today. And then the ones that are highlighted in blue are the ones that are showing up on this page as well on the Bleacher Report rankings. That's
correct.
What that blue is telling you, right? So Damian Lillard and Joel Embiid, you know, those are ones that are kind of correlated pretty well. So those are the ones that are highlighted in light yellow. Again, we're not in dark green territory yet, but there's more light yellows here, right? Light greens. There's more light greens here, which means they're getting closer to where they should be ranked according to our PGI index process, right?
Correct.
So let's go on to anybody you want to point out here. Let me see. Oh, Vince Carter. Look at that.
Yep.
Vince Carter, 144th ranked on our list. He is 65th. Another highly romanticized player, right?
Yep.
Right?
That's out of the building. One of my favorite dunkers of all time, but, you know, what does that mean? You know, the one that I would state, you know, is that saddens me a little is Kawhi Leonard, right? Because if he was more healthy, played more games, he'd be so much higher on this list.
Oh, for sure.
You know, but, you know, he's a perfect, you know, you mentioned Bill Walton. To me, he's another one, right, that should have been better than he is, but that's, you know, and I'm curious to see if Bleacher Report has him. I'm assuming that we're yet to see him on the Bleacher Report list.
Who's this?
Yeah, Kawhi Leonard. I'm thinking he's higher
Yeah, he's going to be higher.
On their list, yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, he's going to be higher. So we can go on to the next one. So we're going now to 51 through 60. Now, you can see there are no blues that are highlighted. It means that there's no one here that correlates to RPGI. But you're going to see there's two light greens in Dahl Shays and Dwight Howard. Interestingly enough, when I first saw Dwight Howard's name on here, I'm like, oh, come on, man. Bleacher Report. Because, you know, my whole basis was looking at ESPN's 75 list, and Dwight Howard was not on that list, right?
Correct.
But then when I saw Bleacher Report showing Dwight Howard, I'm like, huh. And so I did his numbers, and I'm like, oh, my God, his numbers are actually pretty good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He's actually ranked 50th, right?
Yeah. His first five to eight seasons were phenomenal.
He's
a phenomenal player, yeah.
Yeah. But look at Bill Walton, bro. He's 55th. He's 141 on our list. That's a huge delta, bro. I mean, this is begging the question, bro. How are you guys coming up with your rankings, right?
Correct.
We're showing how we did it. We're coming up with a system, a number system. If you guys disagree with it, tell us what we should change. We'll go ahead and turn the knob and then see what happens, right? But this is our system. We kind of put a lot of thought into it.
Reggie Miller is another one, Eddie. I would have thought Reggie Miller was higher on our ranking.
No.
I mean, he's not even in the top 100.
Look at Tracy McGrady. 128 on our rankings. He's 59th. Okay?
Yeah.
That's telling you, man. It's like, what the? I mean, how are these guys? Anyway, man. So, look at there's another name here on our list. Bailey Howell. You're probably like, who's this guy, bro? Right?
Yeah.
You've never heard of that guy.
Is he related to the rich guy on Gilligan's Island?
Exactly, like Mr. Howell.
Mr. Howell.
But anyway, everybody else you kind of recognize here. These are names that, household names. Russell Westbrook being the only current player that's appeared on this list so far, right? All right, let's go on to the next one, bro.
Luka. Okay, let's go. Here we go.
41 through 50, bro. All right, so now we're getting a lot more yellows, a lot more light greens, less of the reds. Okay, so we're getting the reds are telling you that they're far apart from our rankings to their rankings, right? But the Anthony Davis and George Gervin are two that are highlighted here because they're appearing on the Bleacher Report rankings that correlate with our PGI rankings, right? But you can see now we're getting the 3,000 range now with the PGI index, right? Yep. So what surprised me, bro, when I was doing this whole process is before I even kind of did all of this, remember we did like an episode of the most overrated or the kind of most disappointing, right? Anthony Davis was one of the guys that I had on there, right? He was kind of a more, I didn't want to put him as overrated. I wanted to put him as the most disappointing only because he had so much talent and so much capability. He was kind of like the Bill Walton of this generation, right? Because he's always getting hurt, bro. He's not as severe as Bill Walton, but he does get hurt a lot, right?
Correct.
But imagine if this guy had stayed healthy, and he's already at 43 ranked on our list. Imagine if this guy stayed healthy, how much higher this guy would be, bro.
Yep.
Right? It's amazing, right?
We already got him ranked higher than Charles Barkley, who we think very highly of.
Yes, but barely, right? He's barely there. So Luka Doncic, okay, we just talked about him. You know, he's we'll see if he – the guys that are current, right, they're going to continue to climb. There's no way really going down from here, right?
Correct.
If you're a current player and you're on this list, you can only go up. How much more? It just depends on how many more years you can play and how effective you are in those years that you're playing, right?
Correct.
So Luka Doncic is going to continue to climb. Anthony Davis will continue to climb, although Anthony Davis probably has maybe 3 or 4 years left, assuming that he stays healthy. Luka's got maybe another 9, 8 years, right, to go, right? So, all right, man. So let's go on to the next, man. We're getting closer and closer. All right, man. So here we go. We're now to 31 through 40, and here we go, man. The only blue here is Bob Cousy. Okay, that's interesting, and he's the only one that's light green here because it pretty much closely matches. Still, we have yet to have any match RPGI yet, right?
Correct.
But Jason Tatum, okay, he shows up as number 34 on our list,
and he was 90 something.
He was in the 90th range for the Bleacher Report, right?
Dan Issel, man, I haven't seen that name in a minute.
Dan Issel, the Nuggets, man, right? But look, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, dude, he was nowhere to be seen on any list, right? It's because he hasn't played that long. He's like 7 years, I think it is. He's been in the league 6 or 7 years, but he's already showing that he's close to Luka. He's better than Luka, right? I mean, Luka was on the previous slide, right? So,
correct.
So you can see, like, and he's inching closer to Dirk Nowitzki range, right? Jason Tatum, surprisingly, he was that high on our list. Surprisingly. That was surprising, honestly.
Me too, Eddie, because he's a player that I was thinking, he's pretty good, but he's not, like, great.
Right.
You know, and, like, his trajectory right now is he's heading towards great.
Great, exactly.
Yeah.
Now, Artis Gilmore was the 100th ranked guy on Bleacher Report.
Correct.
He was 100th. He's 32nd on our list. That's a big delta, bro, right?
Yep. There's Kawhi. I knew he'd be higher. He was
higher, 32. He's 32, yet he's 65 on our list. Now, the other one that surprised me is James Harden, okay? He's actually a top 20 player according to our index, but he's 34th on Bleacher Reports. Correct. Right? So, interesting, man.
Look at Jason Kidd, another player that has been romanticized a lot.
Very much so. Very much so.
He's out of the top 100 on our list.
Exactly, but look, hey, one guy that you know we pointed out in our Mount Rushmore segment, Bob Pettit, dude. Look, he is the top 10 player of all time according to our index.
Yes,
38.
They got him as 38.
Isn't that crazy? And I think ESPN had him even worse. But anyway, let's keep going, bro. So we're trying to get this within an hour. We're almost.
And for those of you that think we're homers, look, we got Steph not even in the top 20.
Exactly. He's 21. But look at 35-58 is no joke, bro. When you're getting in the high 3,000th range, that's pretty good for our PGI process, right? I mean, you can see that you're going to be a top 35 player if in the 3,000 range, you know, according to our index, right? You can see Giannis, okay? Giannis is a top 17 player in our index. He's 24th. You have there's two guys, Elgin Baylor and Moses Malone. Those guys match. Let me see. Mel Daniels. Who's that guy? What?
Don't know who Mel Daniels is.
But you see, this process helps kind of bring some of the players in the past into relevance, really,
and
right?
It should, because their numbers matter.
Yeah. Oh, want to talk about another romanticized player? John Stockton.
That's crazy, because most people would consider him, you know, maybe top 20 player just because of all the assists. We got him at 114.
And the reason being, bro, is because when we did our system, we didn't want to put so much emphasis on assists because we wanted to individualize this, right? And in order for an assist to be logged, that player, the other player has to score, right?
Right. And that's one of those things where somebody may go, well, an assist should be worth more. That's fine. We can do that. This is going to change.
Considerably, bro.
Yes.
Considerably. It's going to catapult Magic Johnson big time.
Yep.
It's going to catapult Jason Kidd big time.
Yep.
Catapult
yep.
John Stockton big time,
yep.
right?
Yep.
So this knob is going to completely change a lot of things, right?
Correct. And we can do it if you guys want. We're just – the thought process was that – in order to get an assist, the receiving player still has to score, right? Yeah. They still have to complete a shot or make a layup. So it's not equal, right? An assist is creating the opportunity, but the opportunity still has to be made.
Right. All right, man.
That's why we looked at it that way.
We only got two more slides here, three more slides here.
All right,
two more slides. So now you can see, bro, we are getting – really close to getting some dark greens. We have yet to have a dark green yet, bro, but we're getting a lot of light greens, right? The higher you go up, you know, some of these household names in NBA history, you know, everybody agrees on who these guys are, right?
Correct.
But it's a matter of where they're going to be kind of tiered, right? But you can see, you know, Kevin Garnett is ranked number 16th on Bleacher Reports. He's 42 on ours. That's a big delta, bro. Dirk Nowitzki, that's a 20-slot difference right there. He's 18 on their list. He's 30 on our list. Julius Erving, bro. All right. He's a top 10 player of all time in our system, yet he's 20th here. Right. But remember we talked about Nikola Jokic, bro. All right. We talked about this guy. You know, you're thinking he might retire here soon because he wants to be, you know, kind of like a, you know.
I mean, I'm just looking at the tea leaves, brother.
You're seeing the tea leaves, bro. Right. But, you know, he's going to be, if he continues to play and doesn't retire to go take care of his horses, man. He's gonna crack top five, bro.
Yeah.
He will. Especially if he wins championships, right?
Yeah.
So I wanted to point out that you're getting some current players on our list right here. On our list, you have this is probably the one that you have the most of the current players, Nikola Jokic, Giannis, James Harden, and Kevin Durant. And followed behind them on the last slide was Steph Curry. that's an interesting that when I first saw that, I was like, that's kind of, that doesn't make sense, right? It didn't make sense. You know, I'm like, I would never think James Harden would be ranked higher than Steph Curry. Normally, I think that James Harden's ranked higher than Kevin Durant.
Yep.
Yes, according to our system. Very interesting, man. So, all right, man.
And the one thing that was a big talking point on Bleacher Report was that a lot of people were upset that Kobe was outside of the top 10. That they, how could Kobe, and we've got him even lower.
Exactly, 14.
And so, yeah, so just worth noting.
Yep.
Worth noting. All right, next.
All right, this is we finally reached our top 10. But, dude, I want to point out, we've been looking in the 3,000 range. We only have four players in NBA history that have cracked the 5,000 range in our PGI index.
And right, LeBron's not one of them.
These guys are all icons, okay? Michael Jordan, look at that number, dude, 5,491. That is ridiculous, right? For those of you that are young, you know, have never seen this guy play, go, trust me, go watch this guy play on some clips. He was ridiculous. And especially from a defensive standpoint, he is ridiculous. And that's what catapults him, is because he's defensive, right? But Wilt Chamberlain was the one that we talked about. That was a surprising development that he was better than Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Because our argument has always been, is it Michael or is it Kareem? That's the best players of all time. Yep. That's a big argument. Most people today will argue LeBron and Michael. But guys that are our age or older, they will say, Kareem, man.
And
it's
guys that are older than us will go Kareem or Wilt. Bill Russell or Wilt. Yep.
Right. So, but anyway, but, you know, this is our top 10. It's a legit top 10. The guys that, you know, most people would go, would be Bob Pettit. Really? Bob Pettit? Dude, I punched in his numbers. They were pretty legit. Julius Erving, another one. A lot of people think he's overrated, all right? A lot of people do, man. His numbers show that he isn't, okay? John Havlicek is another guy, a top 10 player, right?
Rondo, yep.
Yep. I mean, it's crazy, man.
No, and the thing about it is you look at Bleacher Report's rankings and you look at their top 10, and they're all household names.
Yep.
So you have to think that they're thinking from a household name perspective. You know, they're saying, oh, Bill Russell, you know, he has to be. He won 11 championships. Oh, Wilt Chamberlain, you know, he's got to be. He's Wilt Chamberlain.
Right.
You know, Steph Curry, like, just to throw that, you know, like, Steph Curry's not even top 20 on our list, but he's Steph Curry, you know? Yeah. And so, like, you look at this and you look at the names. It's the names that beat. And when you look at ours, yes, there are a lot of names because they're obviously, they have names for a reason. But you look at Dr. J, you look at Hondo, you look at Bob Pettit, and you look at those three guys and you're like, what? Who?
Yeah, right.
You know, and you know, and those guys played for some great Celtics teams, you know, in terms of have Hondo. And Dr. J had a really good ABA career. We included in these stats because the ABA was absorbed by the NBA. So we included those stats. And our list is, in my opinion, it's balanced, right? It shows a lot of different aspects of the game as opposed to just the name recognition that Bleacher Report has.
Yep. But the ticker on the bottom just shows the names, but now you can kind of see the numbers. I mean, you're not going to be able to kind of keep track. I mean, I couldn't put all the numbers next to the name because I wouldn't be able to fit 50. Yeah. It'd be like 30 or 20. Yeah. I wanted to show the bigger list. But you can kind of see how relative these numbers are against each other. You know, Wilt Chamberlain being the closest guy that we have seen to get to Michael Jordan's, you know, stature. Atmosphere, I should say, right? Because that's a ridiculous number, 5,491. Ridiculous, dude. It's like otherworldly, right? So anyway, bro. So this is our top. So now we wanted to switch to the spreadsheet, and the spreadsheet is going to essentially, we're probably going to spend maybe 10 more minutes, no more than that. All right. So hopefully you can zoom in slightly on that.
I can absolutely zoom.
All right, brother. All right. So let's go.
We're gonna.
Yeah, just focus in on a little bit more, if you can. Okay, that's good. I mean, the legend is the legend is, right? I mean, we already kind of described what the legend is, so that's all that's hiding up there. But let's go all the way down to the bottom, bro. Go down to the 100 list. All right, so not all the way. So you can see some of these names here on our list, right? You can see kind of where you don't have to go through all of them, but just kind of give you some names here, like Slick Leonard. What? Steve Kerr. Look at Steve Kerr. He's in there, but he's like way down to 170. Look at Sharonis. Hall of Famer, dude. By the way, most of these players that I have on here are Hall of Famers. There are some guys there that are not. Like Steve Kerr is not. Jason Williams is not. you know, but everybody else, Buddy Jeanette, by the way, Buddy Jeanette is the very last guy on this list. One of the first black players in the NBA. He's at 761.4 on our PGI. And he's a Hall of Famer. But I think he was just kind of like an honorable mention, right, because of who he meant to the NBA.
Yep.
So, anyway, let's keep going up. We keep going up. All right, so you can see Drazen Petrovic is starting to creep up. Ralph Sampson. Dino Raja. Arvydas Sabonis. That surprised me. He's at 163 because he's only at a number to 1602, right? Yep. Vlade Divac. You can see that name come up here.
Yep.
Grant Hill. You can see Grant Hill now, bro. Right?
Yep.
All right.
Chauncey Billups, who was in the top 100.
Yep.
Chris Mullin.
Exactly.
Paul Westphal. Timmy Hardaway. Look at this. There's Manu.
There's Bill Walton.
Bill Walton, yeah.
Yep.
Michael Cooper.
Michael Cooper above it. Dikembe. No.
Yeah, no, exactly. Dennis Rodman, you know, arguably the greatest rebound in the history of the NBA.
Yep.
134.
Bernard King, there he is. Yao Ming, dude.
Yao Ming. He had a short career.
Dude, look at the numbers that we're at. 2,100 and Jordan's at 5,491, dude.
No, it's crazy.
That's ridiculous. Okay, it's ridiculous. Yep. Now you got current players propping up here with Draymond Green, Jimmy Butler, right? We're getting to the 100. John Stockton, there he is, You can see relatively how he is against some of these players right here. This is what we wanted to show. There's Mitch Richmond.
Mitch Richmond was the greatest of the Run TMC players.
Yes.
On our system,
exactly.
There's Tony Parker.
Tony Parker, right?
Paul George.
That's amazing, dude. Right? I forgot to bold him because he's a current player, although he might be retiring soon. All right, so here we go. Now we're starting to get into the top 100, right? So as you keep going, because we keep going, we've already shown some of these names. I want you to keep going because we've already keep showing these names. What I want you to get to is the top 75 because that's when we start comparing against ESPN. All right?
Okay, here we go.
All right. Now you can see here. All right, so again, the same system here. What I want to point out here is ESPN's 75th anniversary team. There are some differences from the top 75 of Bleacher Report's top 75. You can keep going, bro. So this goes 75 and higher, so you can get rid of – yeah, so 75 and higher. All right, so here we go. So the guys that I want to point out, Bleacher Report had Bleacher Report did not have on their report on the top 75 only, okay? Some of these players were not even on Bleacher Report's list, or they were below the top 75, okay?
Yep.
Nate Thurmond wasn't on Bleacher Report's list.
Wow.
Chris Bosh is below the top 75. Joel Embiid is below the top 75. They were below, right? The top 75. Vince Carter.
He's right here. Oh, you're talking about from ESPN. Sorry. Yes.
Yeah. Tracy McGrady, Paolo Gasol, Luka Doncic, Dwight Howard, Nikola Jokic, Kyrie Irving. Interesting.
Yeah.
These are all right. So we don't want to spend too much, but now you can kind of zoom. Zoom out a little bit. You can zoom out just slightly because I want to show something. Do you see that? See where it says the top 76 only Bleacher Report ESPN?
Yeah, right
you can
here.
See for matches PGI exactly, there was only two on Bleacher Reports. There were four on ESPN's. Okay.
Okay.
If you look at the within five slots, Bleacher Report had 25, ESPN had 15. Bleacher Report had 11 within 10, ESPN had 8. You can see the big difference, though, between Bleacher Report and ESPN for more than 10 slots.
Correct.
What this tells you is that as crazy as I thought Bleacher Report's numbers were when I first saw it, it better matches our PGI.
Correct.
Which is
now, one thing to take into consideration is the age of ESPN. I think this one came out like 4 or 5 years ago for ESPN, right?
It was like 3 years, 2 or 3 years ago.
Okay. Let's say it was 2 years ago. So, obviously – current players have accumulated some stats in between now and then, so that would account for some of it, but I don't think it would account for so much of it that it would equate this big of a difference.
Right. Yeah, but you can see right here that I just wanted to kind of show you can continue to scroll up because we don't want to spend too much time on here, but you can slowly scroll up. You can kind of see some of the differences. You know, as you get, you know, you can see Paul Pierce was the first green one. That's on Actually, you know, I changed that. It should be not a green one. It should be a different. Yeah, the number, the color scheme. I was changing the numbers and I forgot to change some of the color schemes.
Yeah.
What I wanted to show here are just some of the players, get ESPN how they have them ranked versus Bleacher Reports. Again, look at Bill Walton, bro. Bill Walton is number 55 on Bleacher Reports. He's number 43 on ESPN's.
Yeah.
Interesting. Huh.
What's kind of crazy, too, is that nothing matches up even between ESPN and Bleacher.
Not much. I mean, yeah. I could do that analysis.
I haven't found one yet.
Okay, right now, Patrick Ewing is close. He's at 39,
yep.
And he's at 40.
Yep, that's close.
That's close.
Okay. Bob Pettit is just – that's just an insult.
Isn't that crazy, dude? I mean, like, yeah. It's just – dude, I would have never thought of this guy unless we did this PGI. I would have never even given this guy a thought, all right? Yeah.
But that's why I like our list, because it's crucial. It's
bringing some relevance to the old school, man, right? Okay, yep. Kawhi Leonard is close, 33, 32, all right? Yep. So that's you know, within reason. But, you know, on our list, he's way less, right? Yeah. You can keep going, man. So let's see, John Stockton, again, look, he's on Bleacher Reports. He's up there.
Allen Iverson's kind of close,
yep.
36, 31.
Yep. Isaiah Thomas, exactly. Good idea, Thomas. Exactly.
There you go. We got one.
We got one that matched exactly. One. Right? So you can keep going, bro. Look at John Stockton. There he is. He's number 24 on ESPN. A little bit lower at 29 on Bleacher Reports.
Yep.
Giannis, okay. Look at he's 17 on, I think ESPN. He might be a little higher, too, or pretty close to it. I forgot.
Yeah, but
There he is. He's at number 18 on ESPN.
Alone is one away, 22, 23.
Yep. So, see, he keeps scrolling down. Nikola Jokic, there he is, bro, on Bleacher Reports.
Yep. And
he's coming up closer to, you know, ours, I think, because he's higher than, let me see, was he higher on? No, he wasn't. I think he was higher not on ESPN's. On ours, he was. But anyway, you can see we're getting closer to the top 10. You know, Will Chamberlain is a number 9, and he's number 2 on our list, yet he's number 5 on ESPN's.
Yep.
Magic Johnson, look, that matched. 4 and 4. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, that matched. LeBron James, that matched. Michael Jordan. Those top 4 match between ESPN and Bleacher Report. But you can see
but not ours.
Looking on the far left, ours is completely different.
Correct. Okay? Wilt instead of LeBron. Kareem is 3rd universally everywhere.
Yep.
And then Bill Russell, Magic got pushed down. For both, for both, but they had them both as the 4th.
Very interesting, dude. Huh?
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Dude. So we went a little bit over time. Sorry, Guillermo. We wanted to try and get it to 1 hour, but this is our last podcast until we kind of reconvene again in October. October 1st, we'll come back. But hey, we appreciate you guys who have stayed here and listened. You know, we're here live usually every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. We're not going to be live until October 2nd, but we're going to go ahead and still stay relevant and do some shorts here and there to, you know, report on things that we think are relevant or noteworthy, you know, kind of like what we talked about with Luka Doncic shedding all that weight. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of news that are, you know, free agency period is not over. There's still a lot of talk
things
are happening, right?
As far as I know, Josh Giddey hasn't signed yet, so that's still out there.
Exactly.
You know, Jonathan Kuminga, we'll see what comes of that. So there are some still Al Horford has yet to decide whether he's retiring or what he's doing.
And what about the Anthony Melton? I'm surprised nobody has taken that guy up.
Correct. And then Chris Boucher has been announced he's not returning to the Toronto Raptors. So that's a player that might fit, you know, whoever's looking for a shooting big. So there's still some stuff going on the market. But, you know, it's definitely calming down.
Yeah. So anyway, this marks our 59th episode of Buzzer Beaters. I'm Eddie Aparicio. This is my co-host, Anthony Tuan Corral. We're also known as the Cisco Kids, and we are brought to you by Gremlingsmedia.com. Gremlingsmedia.com. You can find us at Gremlingsmedia.com as well as Facebook, X, pretty much any other podcast outlet you can think of, you know, Spotify, Pandora, you name it, you can go ahead and find us. We're here again in October. We appreciate you listening to us, your viewership. We appreciate you kind of tuning in and listening to our banter. Twan and I have known each other for a long ass time, dude. It's been a long time, man. We're getting old, bro. But anyway, until we go ahead and meet again in October, we want to go ahead and say thanks again for listening, and we're going to go ahead and sign off until October. See you, everybody.